Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
Oh, I've seen enough of the New York Jets. Or in the famous words of Apollo Creed at the end of Rocky, ain't gonna be no rematch. Ain't gonna be no rematch. And the Jets probably don't want one either. That was an absolute slugfest of a football game Sunday night at MetLife Stadium in New York, which was exactly the kind of game I thought it would be when the schedule came out. Although I thought Aaron Rodgers would be the quarterback on the other side with a 105.2 rating, the better quarterback in the game. I thought that would all be possible if Aaron Rodgers were playing, that the Jets could win, they'd play amazing defense. Look, the Chiefs did a great thing in this game on Sunday night. They came out early and scored against a ridiculously great Jets defense and then struggled the rest of the night. And we saw it. And the hitting in this game. This was by far, the Chiefs are going to be banged up this week. Watch for a little bit of a hangover this week against the Vikings. The Chiefs go back on the road. This is not easy. Way back in the day, it used to happen every time after the Chiefs played the Raiders. The Chiefs-Raiders games were always the most physical games on the schedule. And the Raiders were typically the most physical team in the NFL. And teams the week after they played the Raiders would oftentimes be not very good because they were so physically drained, especially when you went to Oakland and played there. You'd be physically drained. You got beat up. Everybody was sore. You knew you'd been in a heavyweight fight, and it's hard to recover and rebound from that. That's going to be a difficult thing for the Chiefs this week. That was a beast of a football game. It was incredibly different than most Chiefs games. And I'm sorry, I'll be the only one, because this town's going to run around freaking out that the Chiefs weren't very good against the lowly Jets. That was a hell of a win. That was one hell of a win. I have watched the Chiefs win Super Bowls after going to Tennessee and have Tennessee run for 175 yards on the Chiefs and physically beat the Chiefs up and beat them by 24 points or whatever it was. And then the Chiefs go on and win the Super Bowl. I've seen the Chiefs last year go to Indy and play against a Colts team that just ran the ball right down their throat. That was just physical, physical, physical. And the Chiefs didn't win the game. Almost always these games are early in the year. They're at least in the first half. There's a couple games that reminded me of. The Titans, the year the Chiefs won the first Super Bowl, and the Colts last year. It's the same thing. This time the Chiefs went and got a win. And I noticed these things, man. I hope you do too, because there's going to be a lot of panic here that Taylor Swift's the problem and Travis Kelce's distracted and we've got this problem and that problem. Nobody was open. Now, you can blame the receivers, and we will as Chiefs fans. The overreaction here easily is to say, well, the receivers aren't good enough if they're not open. In the first half, Mahomes had all day to throw because they were just covering in the back, and then the Jets switch it up and just start bringing the house on Mahomes. And his biggest plays obviously were with his feet when he stepped out, but he was under complete duress. He fumbled a snap too. You can blame Zach Wilson all you want for fumbling a snap. Remember, Mahomes fumbled a snap, recovered it, and got a first down. These quarterbacks were jumpy all night. This was an intense spotlight. It was a physical game. It didn't feel, sound, or look like any other game the Chiefs have played this year. It didn't. Or the Jets, for that matter, because they were just behind, but their quarterback was playing great. Zach Wilson was fine. He would say after the game, I lost the game for us because of the fumble. Well, Mahomes fumbled a snap too. I don't hear anybody talk about Mahomes fumbling a snap. Do you? I don't. Maybe the Chiefs cover up their blemishes a little bit better. Maybe that's all this is. Maybe Mahomes is just able to throw two interceptions and have a fumble and still find a way to win a football game. We just say, well, that's what he does. That's what Michael Jordan did. That's what the greats do. They find a way to win when they throw two picks, a third pick that was negated by a flag, which initially I thought he just threw the ball up because he'd seen the flag. But then we saw the replay and saw the flag wasn't even thrown until the ball was picked off. So Mahomes literally threw a third interception in the game and had a fumble. The Jets defense can't be any better. I love that defense. And you know, you've been listening to the podcast. You know, I've been talking about it since the preseason. This game scared the hell out of me from day one. This is why it is so hard to be the Kansas City Chiefs. You knew those Jets fans were going to be there. You knew that was going to be a tough environment. You are the team with the target on your back. The Jets have a really, really exceptional roster. That is one fine collection of football players. They are really something else. And you could see it last night. You get just a little bit of quarterback play in New York, and you're a hell of a hard team to beat. And they could win a lot of games. That game last night beats everybody else that goes into New York. Any other team that goes in there, that game beats them. Because if it's Josh Allen, it's not two interceptions and a fumble. It's probably four interceptions and a fumble. Because he's really bad at that. Great player, but he's really bad at turnovers. Man, I ain't going to be no rematch. I don't want to play the Jets again. I don't want to see him in the playoffs. I don't want any part of this. If Zach Wilson keeps getting better from where he was the night he took over for Aaron Rodgers in game one to where he is here a month later, it's insane. The kid was good. He's got plenty of arm. He was good. He was very, very good. No more Jets. Take the 23-20, get out. If you lost your little bet, sorry, I lost mine too. My phone was just blown up with people complaining that Mahomes slid instead of taking the cover. I mean, the Chiefs literally could have had that hard of a time, and they still covered the game. All he's got to do is step in the end zone, and they win by 10, and they cover the game. But he didn't. A lot of people were freaked out that Mahomes did that. A lot of fantasy players not very happy they did that. But if you want to really focus in on it's the Chiefs' problem, it's the receivers, and it's what we do. It's what any fan of any team does. They look at their team, and they don't think about the opponent. If you want to do that, that's fine. I'm going to give you this stat that is the most amazing thing I've heard. That is the 22nd consecutive game the New York Jets have not had somebody throw for 300 yards against them. I'll repeat that. That is 22 games in a row that defense has gone out there, and the other NFL quarterback, this one, nearly a billionaire, two-time MVP, Super Bowl winner, doesn't throw for 300 yards. That defense is amazing. And the fact the Chiefs popped him for a big run for a touchdown was huge in this ballgame. The fact the Chiefs didn't miss a field goal off the upright was huge in this ballgame. 22 games in a row, sub 300 yards for the Jets defense. That's amazing. Mahomes won this game with his feet. The Jets can really cover in the secondary. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. I mean, it's not really what we've been watching in Kansas City is defense like that. The Chiefs' defense is better this year. When we saw some of that last night, they made a nice adjustment at the half. Andy would say after the game, the corners made some adjustments. They figured out what it was the Jets were doing, and the corners got better in the second half, and they did. We saw that. There were some nice things there, but the Chiefs have a good defense. The Jets have a great one. And I never, if you just told me all week, Chiefs are going to score 23, I'd have said, yep. They're going to score 23, and that's going to be enough. I didn't see the Jets scoring 20. I figured it'd be like 23-13. Was close to that. Man, it's hard to be the Chiefs. It is week in and week out. It is everybody's game of the year. And that's hard in the NFL. It's one thing in college or something like that. In the NFL, when the teams are so even, that makes it really, really, really hard. Look, the Sauce Gardner holding call was a hold. It was both hands, by the way. And Robert Saleh, look, I hope the guy has a good career. I got nothing against Saleh, the coach of the Jets. I've got nothing. But he made a fool of himself on Sunday Night Football. You made a fool of yourself. You complained about it, and you complained about it, you made a fool of yourself. And then when the game was decided, you decided to run down there and get a little bit more of him and get a 15-yard penalty or half the distance penalty before the clock ran out just to make another case that you didn't like the call. And it was early and often, especially on Twitter, Jets fans were on there complaining, oh, the fix is in, the Chiefs are getting all the calls. No, the Chiefs did not get all the calls in this game. The safety was not a safety. Everyone agreed. There was another call against the Chiefs. No, that was not a penalty. There were two of them point blank that if you could have reviewed them, they would have been taken away. And again, I don't know what the NFL is doing, why they won't move to a situation where you can review anything. And if you could review a scoring play, a safety is a scoring play. If you can review that penalty there, that was easily overturned. I mean, easily overturned. That was not a safety. It was not. And anybody, the announcers were all discombobulated and confused because the referee guy they had on was, he couldn't have said it more plainly, but somehow Chris Collinsworth wasn't listening right and started asking questions like, no, that he engaged him in the field of play, not the end zone. That's not a safety. If that were reviewable, it's over. It's over. It's the Chiefs have the ball at the 1 yard line or inside the one. I don't know why the NFL doesn't do that. Isaiah Pacheco was terrific in this game. I don't really think this was about, it was fun for him to be going home. He played at Rutgers, not far away from there. He grew up near there. All those things were great for Isaiah Pacheco. But we've watched him now for a couple of seasons, and he's got a motor. I mean, this is a bad comparison because he's not nearly as talented, but he reminds me a little bit, Chiefs reminds me of a little bit of Jamaal Charles, and that he is just tough as nails, hard to bring down, bounces around. And when he pulled away and scored that touchdown, man, I'm not sure I knew he had that kind of speed. It was the cut to the right that was the big deal on that run. His run was going straight and veering left, and then he goes straight to the right. And when you do that, you get a step on the defender. That helps you get a step because you're going that way a step before he knows you went that way. So that always gives you separation. And it was just great running. I don't think he's the fastest guy in the world. I think he's tough as nails. I must have watched between him and Tony and even CEH a time or two. I'll bet I saw 7 or 8 hits last night where I thought, oh my God, how did the Chiefs not fumble? How did that player just get hit that hard and not fumble the football? Now, I'm not going to say I'm on alert to watch for it. It's not like they were carrying it out there loosely. That's not it. The only one that really scared me about carrying it out loosely was, and it wasn't really loosely, it was after Kelsey caught a ball early in the game, turned and ran and didn't feel the guy behind him who came up and punched from behind. That's the one that just gets you because you don't see it coming. My God, those running backs got hit, and they got hit hard, and so did the receivers. Whew. Man, those Jets are something on defense, and they can really, really smash you up. Pacheco, 158 yards total, 115 on the ground. That's amazing. The big run was everything, obviously. Really, really big deal. This game was not determined by a referee's call. If you want to say this game was affected by 10 referee calls, I can go with that. But it was not determined by the holding call. You can't grab a receiver downfield with both hands and spin his shoulder pad. You're not going to get away with that. And Robert Saleh's a fool. I'm sorry. You can be emotional. You can be mad. You can be upset you lost. And it sucks playing the Chiefs. I get it. Chiefs used to play teams like this all the time. For 15 years, it was the Broncos. Then for 15 years after that, it was the Patriots and Colts. And yeah, it stinks. The Steelers came to town with Roethlisberger and won a playoff game. Yes, it was over and over and over. It stunk to be the Chiefs. Yes. Yes. We know what it feels like, Jets. They're on the cusp of something very good there, and they know it. They have the best defensive personnel in the league. I think in many, look, the Cowboys' defense is better at taking the ball away, I'm pretty sure. They're a little more risk-reward. But you just want to line up and batter somebody and let them know they've been in a street fight? That's the Jets. And they can really cover. And they come flying out of that secondary. If you gain 5 yards, they come flying out of there and just blow you up. On the defensive side of the ball for the Chiefs last night, very, 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 very impressive. Drew Tranquil and Leo Chenault, a couple of linebackers. They had 14 tackles between them, 11 solo between them. And these guys just out of nowhere were just doing everything all night. They were near the ball. They mostly kept gains, small gains for the Jets instead of 13-yard gains. That's mostly what they did. Man, I'm telling you, Chiefs got some linebackers now. They got some guys flying around, and Bolton's not even playing. And they were still pretty good with the linebacking core. And there were not very many quarterbacks playing better than Zach Wilson yesterday. I mean, he was taking chances. He was threading windows. He was making just, by and large, really great decisions. Now, that's a terrific win. That's not one where you say the lowly Jets. You just don't. I'm telling you. You don't have to change your mind. You get your opinion. I get mine. I just know this is a game the Chiefs lose. And when the schedule came out, I looked at it just like that. I looked at it like a Titans game in Nashville or a Colts game in Indianapolis. That's where the Chiefs go lose. They line up, somebody hits them in the mouth, runs the freaking football against them. It gets too physical for them, and they squirm back home, refocus, and go from there. That's typically what they've done. Now, can they refocus on this one a little bit and say, wow, we've got a lot of work to do? Of course. I mean, the Bears look good against them. How bad is the Denver defense? So the Chiefs are playing Denver twice in October. They're at the Vikings. Nobody's going to tell you the Vikings defense is great. They usually get in score fest. Then it's home for the Broncos. The Chiefs ought to score a million. Then the Chargers are here. Yeah. Chargers can beat the Chiefs. There's no question they can. I don't think they will, but the Chiefs ought to score a million in that one. Then they go to Denver and will score a million. Then they play the Dolphins, who have no defense. So you just take that one and run with it, folks. You win that ball game, you just get the hell out of New York, and we're done. Just done. Mahomes, 18 of 30, 203 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, a fumble they didn't lose, and an interception that got overturned by a penalty, and a quarterback rating of 63.6, and the Chiefs win. The Chiefs win without any drama at the end. They march down and slide and run the clock out. The hardest thing to do in pro football is to run out the clock. And the Chiefs did that. Oh, and by the way, with all that bad that happened and all those bad Mahomes stats, the Chiefs still really covered the spread. All they had to do was take one more step in the end zone, and they would have covered the spread. KKHI is brought to you by Roberts Robinson, online at robertsrobinson.com. Chevrolet, Buick, GMC. Did you see the awesome Chevy ZR2 truck commercials last night on Sunday Night Football? They showed the Silverado ZR2, and then they showed the Colorado, and then the big Silverado. I think that's like the big heavy-duty, the HD, the diesel or something. Oh, yeah. You can get those at Roberts Robinson. You can have them built and sent right here or right to your home, no matter where you live. Call my man Tim at Roberts Robinson today, 816-826-1563. It's the home of the lifetime warranty, robertsrobinson.com, for all your Chevy, Buick, and GMC needs. Back 9 Development is Kansas City's custom home builder. If you are interested in building, you ought to give TJ a call and say, we'd like to work with your team. Here's what we're looking for. These really, truly are custom homes. This isn't finding a model home and saying, okay, we want this. This is, okay, we've got a piece of land or we've got a spot in a subdivision or something, and here's what we've always dreamed of doing. This is what we want to do for the way we live. We don't want somebody else's cookie cutter. We want to build our own house to make our own home exactly like we like it. And TJ can help you do that. Just give him a call at 785-236-0161 or back9development.com. And my good buddy Ron Buck over at Buck Roofing and now Buck Disposal. If you have disposal needs for a big dumpster at a job site, cleanup, things like that, or if you're moving, homeowners remodeling, business owners moving, small or large, they have three different sizes of dumpsters. They do smaller ones to big ones. These are not regular service dumpsters. They're temporary. You need them for a day. You need them for a week. Fill that sucker up. Buck will come pick it up, take it away for you. Municipalities, cities can use these. Landscape companies doing tree removal this time of year. Really, it's all about service. Most of these companies that do this are big corporations with call centers out of town, and it's disorganized. They don't deliver it when you want it, and they don't pick it up when you need it. BuckDisposal.com. Ron has assured me that this is the best service you'll ever get in this industry. Saturdays and Sundays, sure, they'll make it happen. 913-242-7695. That's 913-242-7695, online at buckdisposal.com. All right, the subplot of every Chiefs game that Taylor Swift is now at is Taylor Swift, and we have two different, I don't know if the broadcasters drove you nuts yesterday, the pregame, postgame, sports center after the game, everything, the local news coverage. There are two types of people with microphones right now. There are those that are doing puns, trying to be funny, dropping Taylor Swift song titles in their broadcasting, of which I don't know very many song titles. That's clear, because apparently the entire open with the voice stars on there was nothing but Taylor Swift titles, and I'm not sure I'd heard of any of them. So I don't know. I don't know her song titles. I don't really like Taylor Swift. Then the flip side of that is people saying, oh God, shut up and move on. She's bad for this team. This whole thing's stupid. I hate it. I just want football. I get it. So there's something here for everyone. Well, Page Six it's Page Six of the New York Post. It's called Page Six, but it's like TMZ. It's the biggest gossip site, celebrity news site in New York, the biggest city in America. Page Six was on Trailer all weekend. That's Travis and Taylor, Trailer. Like my old buddy Scott Trailer of the Racing Boys. T-R-A-Y-L-O-R. That's what they've nicknamed them, Trailer. That's Travis and Taylor. So Page Six reported that 11 a.m. Sunday morning, that's the day of the game, Travis Kelce left Taylor Swift's apartment in New York City in a black Range Rover, and they have video and pictures of this, with her driver, where he was driven to New Jersey and taken to the Chiefs team hotel. Okay, that's kind of interesting. A source with the team says, oh, no, Kelce was not there overnight. He met the strict 11 o'clock curfew Saturday night at the team hotel. Team goes on the road. They do bed check. It's old school. They walk up and down the hallway. Security guy who has a master key to every room. And they open the door and make sure the players are in there at 11 o'clock. And back in the, I assume they still do now, but I'm not 100% sure. Then they guard the exits. They have security people that guard the exits. You can't sneak out. You're not going out tonight. You know, we know you're 25 and you're rich and there's all kinds of girls here, but we got business tomorrow. So it's a business trip. The Chiefs are saying that, yeah, he was in bed at 11 o'clock on Saturday night. Doesn't change the fact that there's video of him at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning leaving Taylor's apartment. I don't know. All I know is Travis was wearing a shirt that says, I'm not doing shit today. That's what his shirt said when he left Taylor's place. I'm not doing shit today. And that was on game day as he got in her black Rover with the driver and was taken to New Jersey. It's easy to say for me, they probably have a team breakfast on Sunday and it might be relatively early to keep their bodies on the regular schedule. Could be something like 8 o'clock, ends at 9. I don't know. Maybe he went over there. They get, I'm assuming they get 2 or 3 hours on Sunday Night Football to themselves where their family members are there or whatever. You can go walk around, go get a cup of coffee, go to Starbucks, whatever. It's not prison. There's usually gaps where they have a little free time. Maybe that's what it was Sunday morning. I don't know. We've got competing information. We don't really have competing stories because it is possible to be at bed check at 11 o'clock. It's also possible to be at her place at 11 a.m. Not sure that I care all that much. I don't think it's the best look in New York for the paparazzi to run around with a t-shirt that says I'm not doing shit today. But whatever. He's a big star now. Mark Cuban's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And he tweeted that they need to break up and Taylor should come to Dallas and date one of his good-looking single Mavericks players. Travis Kelce never missed a beat. How do you think Travis Kelce responded to Mark Cuban's tweet that they need to break up and Taylor needs to come to Dallas and date one of her good-looking, one of his good-looking single Mavericks players? Travis said, we can do that. Just sign me to a 10-day contract. Travis Kelce's trying to turn it into a 10-day basketball contract. So we like that. They left and went their separate ways after the game. That's protocol on the road. Kelce has to be on the team flight home. And they come in for treatment this morning at some point. Tuesday typically is the off day, but they all come in for treatment and get checked out and everything else. Very easy day on Monday. But that they do usually get together the day after the game and get treatment, sit in the ice bath, and do different things like that. It's part of the recovery. We want you here. We're going to start helping your body recover for this week's game. They pay people a lot of money to train these players and help them recover. So, again, this can't be a boyfriend-girlfriend thing. It can be a fling. The only way this can be a relationship is if Taylor Swift moves here. Travis Kelce can't live in New York. He's got a six-month job here where he's here 6 days a week. Now, can he go to Europe in a few weeks during the bye week and see her? Sure. He's going to get 4 or 5 days off for the bye week. Yeah. Yeah, he can go hang out at her concerts, go wherever he wants to do, whatever. Yes. But this is, folks, it's not a distraction. The Chiefs just won 2 games with her in the stands. I'm probably as done with it as you are. I don't really care that much. You know I don't like the wife. And looking at her sitting in there, I don't like any of it. It's not really what I'm into, but it is kind of harmless. It's not hurting anything. Not hurting it. They're winning games. If she's some sort of a big distraction the week of the Super Bowl, then yeah, I'll admit this can be a problem. There's no question this can be a problem. This could be a problem. But it really isn't right now. And the Chiefs have won, and they're 3-1. Which puts them in good company with the rest of the AFC as we look around. The Dolphins get a loss, and it was ugly. The Dolphins lose to the Bills, and they were not really competitive. The Bills just blew their doors off. I'll say it again. I've said it all year. The Dolphins remind me of the Chiefs of 5 years ago. They're a breakout team. They're incredibly fun to watch. There's a lot to like there, but they don't stop anybody. It's always a score fest, and that's really hard, a hard way to win a Super Bowl. So they give up a million points to the Bills. Josh Allen goes for 4 touchdowns and 320 yards, and Miami's not competitive. They just get blown off the field in a glorious and beautiful day in Buffalo. I'm always happy with the people of Buffalo in September and October when I see beautiful weather there for their home games. I feel happy for them. And it was nice. The Bills are really good. Josh Allen turns the ball over a lot, but he's really good. And they do play defense in Buffalo, and they showed that against the Dolphins on this day. You want to point arrow up? Right now, if you're just looking around the AFC, you're saying, what's it look like to me? It looks like the Chiefs and the Bills. But I'm willing to keep watching the Dolphins. They find a way to play some defense. I'm willing to keep watching them because they can score. They can score. The Bengals, meanwhile, are just lost. And I don't know how long they can just keep blaming this on Joe Burrow had an injury. Joe Burrow, to say that he's been ineffective is not even, that's wrong. He's been awful. He's been worse than ineffective. 165 yards in this game. Get this. The Bengals go down and score in the first 5 minutes of the game and never score again. 27-3. They went 55 minutes without scoring. Tennessee beats them 27-3. Just lights them up and down. Now, the Chiefs have been there. I referenced that game a few years ago. Chiefs went to Tennessee, got punked just like this. And I want to say the Chiefs won 11 straight after that, the last 8 of the regular season and 3 to win the Super Bowl. Does that sound right? That sounds about right. So 27-3, Tennessee over Cincinnati. Tennessee's just, they got a quarterback problem, but they just do a lot of things that are hard to beat sometimes, especially when you go there. I don't think this has to be that come to Jesus game for the Bengals. If they're going to be good this year and get where they think they're going, then it's on. It has to be now. But we're seeing some teams that just don't look like they're that. You know, even the Chargers, another goofy decision in their game, and they had to have a defensive play, save the game at the end for them to get to 2-2, and now Herbert's hurt. He got his finger busted up in this game. It's his left middle finger, but he can't keep playing with what he had on after he got hurt yesterday. Quarterbacks can play with busted fingers on their non-throwing hand. That's not a thing. They'll figure it out. But it's got to be uncomfortable at best. Not a perfect situation for the Chargers, who are kind of lucky to be 2-2, to be honest. We normally think of the Chargers as unlucky, but they take every single game to the wire. And then their coach does dumb things. And they got away with the dumb one in this one, going for the fourth down at their own, 30-yard line? They got away with this one, and they win it. So, NFL, I mean, you know, the Cowboys look good. The 49ers probably look as good as anybody. The Eagles are good. They trailed all day. They don't play the Commanders well. That's 3 straight times they played the Commanders and had a little trouble with them. These are division games. Weird things can happen. I think the Eagles are really good. I think they know how to win. I think the 49ers look ridiculous. And I think the Cowboys A game, when their offense plays well, might be the best in the AFC. And they had that against, they gave Bill Belichick his worst loss ever yesterday. That's all you got to know. I mean, the Cowboys have it. But they didn't have anything last week when they played the Cardinals and lost. Fun season. It is off and running, and the Chiefs are in fine shape, folks. Take that win and get the heck out of there. All right, college football is brought to you by our friends in Manhattan. That's our golf course at Colbert Hills and the hotel, the Blue Mountain Hotel. Zoe at the Blue Mountain Hotel would like to be your golf concierge this fall. Whether this is around a football game or not, doesn't matter. The weather is so good, and what's coming up the next 6 or 8 weeks, the golf courses are all in great shape, the weather conditions are perfect. Grab a couple of guys from your company or your business and say, look, we're going to go spend a night in Manhattan. We're going to play Colbert Hills. They're setting the whole thing up. They won't need to know that you saved a bunch of money. It's $110 to play Colbert Hills and stay at the Blue Mountain Hotel. That's per person, $110. For your hotel and your golf. Call Zoe at the Blue Mountain Hotel, 785-473-7091. That's 785-473-7091. Or just look at BlueMontHotel.com. That's BlueMontHotel.com. And you'll find the phone number there, whatever. Call Zoe. It's just easier. She'll take care of everything. Again, that's like you could take eight people from the office for $880, spend the night, and play golf. It's an unbelievably great team-building thing to do. Getting out of town a little bit's a good thing. It's not some big Vegas trip that's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars for your company. No, just get away for a night and do it. Colbert Hills is ready to host you and your group. You can even stay there if you'd like for the same price, $110. BlueMontHotel.com. Advantage Termite and Pest Control for all your pest control needs online at AdvantageTPC.com. Make the switch, folks. These are great conservatives, great people, unbelievably great people, and their service is the best. That's why we have stayed with them for almost 25 years now. Advantage Termite and Pest Control, 913-768-8989. Aaron Wolcott and his team are online at AdvantageTPC.com. And Earth Effects Outdoor, it is time to clean up around your property. Whether it's brush clearing, new mulch, overseeding, whatever you're looking to do here, trimming your trees, getting ready for winter, Earth Effects would love to be your landscape company. They'd be honored to do work for you and your home. 816-478-7700. Online at eeoutdoor.com. That's eeoutdoor.com. They also do hardscapes, kitchens, fire pits, hardscapes, lighting, berms, trees, you name it. All your landscaping needs, great American patriots, Christian values, Daniel Hinks and his team, eeoutdoor.com. How about Missouri Tigers? How about this week for Ole Mizzou? I mean, they just own Vanderbilt now. And they walk in there and they got a seven. They score right out of the bat in the third quarter. They're up 17 points. It looks like they're going to cruise, and they do. They win 38-21. Brady Cook, the quarterback Mizzou fans loved to hate, but they don't anymore. 395 yards. Mizzou racks up 532 total yards. And they roll past Vanderbilt, which is now Missouri is starting to do what you expect them to do. All right? It didn't. I wasn't sure it was a fair thing to say. I suggested it last week, but I wasn't sure it was a fair thing to say, and I'm not sure I was ready to say it about this team, that Mizzou ought to just go to Vandy and take care of the business, and this shouldn't be that hard. Kentucky had just won there by 20 or something. I'm like, well, if Kentucky can do that, Missouri can do that. Kentucky's pretty good. They cracked the top 25 this week. They had a really good win over Florida and looked great. And Missouri's looking like that, which is fun. Now the question is, what do you really expect them to do? Because the line is out for the LSU game on Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, ESPN at the Zoo. And Missouri is a 6.5-point underdog, and I'm just not sure I understand that. LSU is a mess. Brian Kelly's a mess. He's under fire. They want to get rid of him. It's not going well. It's not going well for LSU. I was around some LSU fans this weekend. They hate him. They hate their team. They hate him. The players have to feel that. This is a hard place to play. We just watched a very good Kansas State team go to Missouri and get taken off their game. Missouri has some players on defense. They've not come together as a defense the way they'd like to at this point. I think that's safe to say. But Brady Cook and Luther Burden, are you kidding me? Who's got that? Does Alabama have that? No. Alabama would love to have that. They don't. They don't have Brady Cook or Luther Burden. This thing's setting up now for Mizzou. I'm jumping on that line, and I'm taking the points in Missouri right now, Saturday morning. I love the way this is setting up for Ole Mizzou. Kansas Jayhawks are going to be the hardest team to figure out this year. They're just going to be really tough week to week. I don't understand the Jalen Daniels thing, and I'm not getting nearly enough information. I'm not hearing enough about what's going on there. So the story is they get to Austin, and it's not unusual to do a walkthrough at the hotel. The coaches line them up. They say, remember, we're going to line up like this, whatever. They sometimes do this in a parking lot. Sometimes they do it in a ballroom. There's different ways they do it. It's mostly to keep the players from getting bored, sitting around all day, waiting for the game to start, whatever. So they go to do this little walkthrough thing, which I don't even think it involves a football. And Jalen Daniels hurt his back? Nobody knew this. They told Jason Bean 30 to 40 minutes before kickoff that he was starting. They thought, uh-oh, he tweaked his back. Then the trainers got with him. They thought they'd fix him up and he'd be ready to go. He had practiced all week, they say. He took every snap and then didn't. And Jason Bean played. And Bean was all right. Texas is, look, I think Texas was going to win the game either way. I just do. But I don't understand the Jalen Daniels thing. And I think it's going to get to a point where Kansas will start to question how good they can be and whether or not they can beat the better teams unless Jalen Daniels is on the field. That's the problem with promoting a player. All right, and Kansas did this. Jason Bean was good last year when he played, and he's still a really good backup. There is a drop-off. You can see there's a drop-off. But the problem with that is when you hype your own player, when you start talking about the Heisman, when he's preseason conference player of the year and he wears all that bling to media days and makes all these statements and stuff, when you do that, you look, it's one thing if you had like a some sort of a one-time injury that put you out for the year, or, you know, like you broke an ankle or something, or Aaron Rodgers. All right, then you move on to your quarterback. But you're sitting here with a kind of an undisclosed back thing that can't really be described. I don't know what it is, but he's dealt with it, and then he's played, and he's practiced, and I've noticed that they coach him a little differently. I think because of the injury, they've coached him differently. He's not run the ball as much. But this happened at the hotel the morning of the game? If that's the case, that's just really bad luck. That's really bad luck for the Kansas Jayhawks. They have UCF this week. UCF can score. UCF can put some points on the board. This could be a really entertaining game to watch. UCF at KU on Saturday. The Jayhawks are a 3-point favorite in this game. Kansas State's back in action on Friday there at Oklahoma State. They play Friday night. It's an 11-point line favoring the Cats. That's 6:30 ESPN, I believe, on Friday night for K-State at Oklahoma State. One other college note from the weekend. Kansas basketball player Arturo Morris was let go by Bill Self. I don't know why he didn't do that when they got busted a few weeks ago for not releasing the information about the player allegedly raping a girl, an 18-year-old woman from Missouri, in the condos where the Jayhawks players live. This was a player that they never should have brought in. Don't know why he took the chance on him. Don't know why he kept him, other than even he's a hell of a player. I do know why. Arturo Morris is a great player. Arturo Morris walks around this planet knowing he's a great player, clearly, because he had trouble with the law that was settled in Texas. Undoubtedly, he will settle this in some fashion. It will go away, but he's going away from Kansas. We don't know where his next landing spot is. I would think maybe pro ball. Maybe just walk away and go start in the G League or something and see what you have. But to me, that was unbecoming of Bill Self. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's got two national titles. He doesn't need Arturo Morris. He's not at some phase where it's like make or break year. Oh, I'm going to get fired if I don't win games. I got to go sign this really risky kid. No, get past that, Bill. Get past it. The Royals finished the regular season with 106 losses. That ties their team record. Amazingly, they finished 12-5 in the last 17 games to tie the record and not set a new record. Zach Greinke got a standing ovation coming out of the game yesterday, the last game of the year, which they won. Bobby Witt reached the 30-30 club, first time in Royals history. Some nice things happened. Not sure I've ever seen a guy with 15 losses. Was he 1-15 coming into the game? Zach Greinke get that kind of ovation. There were a lot of people out there. It was pretty nice to see. So the Royals avoided that dubious record, and they tie the record of 106 losses. The Ryder Cup team down. They didn't even go down with a whimper. They didn't even show up. Session one on Friday morning, the U.S. Ryder Cup team loses 4-0 in the first four matches. 4-0. They just laid an egg. Here's the truth about the U.S. Ryder Cup team. All right? Was it Morikawa or Shoffley? One of the players is getting married today. He'd planned his wedding for the day after it ended. So he's sitting there all weekend playing golf, thinking about his wedding Monday so he could get married in Italy. Cantlay, is Patrick Cantlay? Might have been Cantlay getting married. None of them have ever played the course before, even though there were two events there this year they could have played in. Most of the players on the team hadn't played in 5 weeks. 5 weeks. Three of the U.S. players skipped practice altogether. The United States captain, Zach Johnson, never scouted players from the LIV Tour. He put together players that were best friends instead of doing this on merit. Dustin Johnson was not there because he's on LIV Tour. He was 5-0 2 years ago in the Ryder Cup. Patrick Reed is named Captain America because of his play in the Ryder Cup. He took Rory down. Rory was 5-0 in the Ryder Cup. And Bryson DeChambeau was easily the best player in the world when it was time for the captain to pick players 5 weeks ago or whenever it was, 4 weeks ago. And he didn't get selected either because what? They don't like him or he's a LIV player? I don't know. They deserve to lose. The competition is a joke. If they don't get rid of this petty PGA Tour LIV stuff, the Ryder Cup is rendered useless. You can't just take one tour of American players and say, we're going to take the PGA Tour guys and go, and that's it. We're not looking at the other ones. Can't do it. It's not the right thing. And I'll be honest with you. I've always loved the Ryder Cup. It is nothing like it used to be. I almost feel like the liberals have taken it over or something. Honestly, it's what it looks like. Everything's like that light Obama blue, and it's all so European and touchy, you know, like one world. It's all that. But then you watch, and what's disappointing is what we love about America, what you love about, is not on display by the Americans. They don't have any of the fire the Europeans do. Europeans are proud of being European. The Americans all there like, okay, I got to be here. This is, I'm doing this, but you know, I'm not, this isn't the Masters. That's what they look like. Deserve to lose, I guess. All right, on to some news. Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, was on 60 Minutes on Sunday night, and I watched this. He cried. Oh, Merrick Garland cried. Merrick Garland's been under fire. He's on Capitol Hill this week because he sucks. He's not good at what he does, and he's bent on being a liberal. He's an Obama buddy. He's a Biden buddy. They literally on this story tried to make a big deal about how all the president's not very happy with you, and he's like, yeah, well, it's kind of quiet. And then they go, so rule of law is everything with you, right? And they talk about January 6th, because, of course, those were evil Republicans. And then they talk about the Oklahoma City bombing, because Timothy McVeigh was what, some right-wing guy or something? Conspiracy theorist? I don't know. He was a former military. They didn't like McVeigh. And Merrick Garland was in Oklahoma City when that happened. And so he's like, my life has been, you know, etched in stone that it's this. That I lost two relatives in the Holocaust. 80 years ago, he lost two relatives in the Holocaust. Okay, that's awful, but I don't really know what it has to do with him being Attorney General today. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. Oh, because he had this, he dedicated his life to the rule of law and being against political activism and all these other things. And they're trying to like, well, Joe Biden's, the president's not really talking to me. But really what they wanted to do was talk about January 6th, the Oklahoma City bombing, and all the counts against Trump. And they get to a point where they're talking to Merrick Garland about his two relatives. How well did he know these people? He couldn't have known them. He wasn't alive. Am I wrong? These two relatives that died in the Holocaust, he was not alive. I don't think. Is he 80? I don't think he's 80, is he? Everybody else in D.C. is, but I don't think Merrick Garland is. These are people he didn't know. You know what? I got a bunch of dead relatives I didn't know. My dead relatives. Jeez. He literally was crying. He looked like the most loser liberal you've ever seen in your life. Crying about this on 60 Minutes. You got to see it. It's such bad journalism. And oh my God. They want you to feel bad for Merrick Garland. Good Lord. Jamal Brown is the New York congressman that pulled the fire alarm at the Capitol. Why did he pull the fire alarm? He pulled the fire alarm because he didn't want them to vote on the budget, so he wanted the government to shut down so they could blame Republicans. So he literally tried to shut down the government by pulling the fire alarm and clearing the building. Jamal Brown, well, he committed a crime worse than 90% of the J6ers. Correct? He did. And Trump is now out on the road stating all this in Iowa, in California, places like this guy's got to be convicted. If Trump wins, he's going after Jamal Brown for that crime. He will. It's the same crime. They're interfering with an official proceeding. That's what they charged every J6 with. They couldn't get him for violence. They couldn't get him for vandalism. There's all these things they couldn't do. But they got him for interfering with an official proceeding of Congress. Well, that's exactly what this guy did. He interfered with an official proceeding. He needs to be convicted right now. Where's Merrick Garland on this one? Let's go. He emptied the building. That's so bad. This guy's a lunatic, apparently. Jamal Brown. Trump says full prosecution. He needs to get the complete treatment that everybody else gets. Our final is brought to you by the Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. That's finchknifeco.com. Keep life from getting dull with a Finch pocket knife, now featuring the new Stinger series. Jeremy Fry sent me a text the other day, and he got all the Stingers. Is there three different models? He got them all. He goes, I may have a problem. I said, no, you collect other things that cost a lot more than Finch knives, and that's maybe more of a problem than this. But he's got the beautiful knives, man. Dr. Jeremy loves those Finch pocket knives. He keeps life from getting dull. He carries one everywhere with him, gives them as gifts. They're wonderful items. FinchKnifeCo.com. Ideal Health KC, Dr. Kip Van Camp, is the best regenerative medicine doctor anywhere in the Midwest. He has written several published papers about all these in multiple journals around the world. Stem cell tissue research published, PRP blood spinning, patch therapy, ozone therapy. If your body ails you and what you've done with traditional pharmaceuticals and such has not helped, it's worth a consultation with Dr. Van Camp. They're online at idealhealthkc.com, 913-745-5300. They're located in Shawnee at K7 and Shawnee Mission Parkway, online at idealhealthkc.com. And, of course, Tickets for Less and ticketsforless.com. I wonder if anybody in our audience went to Beyonce last night. If you went to Beyonce, shoot me an email, will you? I'm curious, did anybody in this audience go to Beyonce instead of watching the Chiefs game? I'm curious. And if you did, you probably saved money by going to ticketsforless.com. Just remember, promo code KKHI. It doesn't matter what you buy there, whether it's Beyonce or the Chiefs-Broncos game coming up in a couple of weeks. The tickets are there, and they're always discounted, 5 to 15%, depending on what you buy. Ticketsforless.com. Our final is a Denver business owner, columnist, and radio host named John Caldera. John Caldera has a business called The Independent or something. His logo is a bald eagle. This guy's a libertarian. Great American, living in Denver, watching his city fall apart. And at the building they rent or own, I don't know which, where they have their business that they're running, there's homeless people around. And these people defecate on the sidewalk and the steps right in front of their building. John Caldera has been complaining about it for quite some time. The city won't do anything about it. They won't enforce anyone. They won't do anything. So John Caldera scooped it up in a plastic bag, I think maybe a couple days worth, went to City Hall and dumped it on their steps. He invited the media down. They all came, and they watched him drop poop on the steps of the Denver City Hall. He made a pretty eloquent speech. He said, they won't clean it up in my neighborhood, and they won't arrest anybody for doing it in my neighborhood. I'm going to drop it right here because they can't arrest me. It's not my poop. They can't get me for defecating in public because it's not my poop. So they can DNA it if they want. I don't care. I'm picking this up from my property and delivering it right here. And we're going to keep doing it. Then he challenged anybody in Denver that has a poop problem or a needles problem or anything else, trash problem, to very carefully handle such items because it's a public health risk. Very carefully handle them and come to City Hall and dump them. So that's the only way the liberals in this town will understand. Let's make them walk through it to go to work. I love it. There's some pretty, pretty good people out there. I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's a great radio stunt. That is a great radio promotion. Way to go. His name is John Caldera, and he is in Denver, And he is our final to get us started on this Monday. Hey, hit that like or follow button if you get a chance. We certainly appreciate that and appreciate everybody for subscribing to the podcast. If you want to join the patrons, we're going to be doing a newsletter this week because I didn't do one over the weekend. We were out of town for a couple of days. So there'll be an additional newsletter here. And we'll be doing some patron podcasts this week as well. If you'd like to get that bonus content, premium content, it's kkhasissues.com. Click on Become a Patron. Much easier to do on a computer or a laptop than it is on your phone. So we'd love to have you join the patrons. If you'd like to join, at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.